Welcome to Infield Chatter, the azsnakepit.com podcast about Diamondbacks, baseball, but really just about whatever stupid stuff jumps into our head. I'm Soko, your guest host for this week. Charlie had to be out, and I'm joined by the artist formerly known as Kishi. He now goes by Devin Jessup on the site, and we're just going to do a little chit and chat about baseball. How's it going, Devin?
Going pretty well. Had a long drive today, but I'll survive.
Were you driving from one side of the valley to the other? Because that's like a ridiculously long drive.
It wasn't that long of a drive. It was just from Las Vegas down to Surprise. So it's not like even. I was gonna say to Phoenix, but I'm
not
still
really.
45 minutes from Phoenix.
Yeah, not really. But still, yeah, that's not too bad of a drive, I guess.
It's okay. You know, I mean, it's. It could be worse.
It could be Mesa. So today's going to be a little bit more of a mailbag sort of episode. We may get into some other subjects as we are wont to do, but we're just going to open up with some subjects that were kind of thrown at us on the social networks that exist. So first one is more of a spring training related sort of question. It comes from Songbird3411 on the Twitter. And she asks, are we all feeling happy that many spring training tourists are about to leave, or is it just me? So I would agree with that statement personally. I don't live immediately next to one, and where my house is, it's secluded enough that, you know, it's not next to hotels, so I'm not really seeing the traffic up by my house. But my work office is literally across the street from Salt River Fields. And, you know, if I feel like to myself, maybe I don't want to bring my lunch today, maybe I want to go get Chipotle or something, then that requires having to battle with the traffic, which is pretty annoying. Or a week or so ago, I had to go pick up my son from preschool, which required navigating all kinds of cones and things like that. But it's definitely one of those things that when there's high tourists, it makes you think to yourself, man, I'm glad these people aren't around all the time.
I feel like it's kind of even worse when you live over on the west side of the valley, because about this time you're going to get the double relief of, oh, the tourists from spring training are leaving and the snowbirds are leaving.
Yeah.
But I always had a particular dislike for the number of spring training tourists, sometimes just because of the sheer proximity I was to one of the stadiums.
Right.
I lived about a mile from Peoria Sports Complex, and then also the theater that my wife worked at was literally right next to it. And I was actually about to give him a shout out and like a plug, but then I realized my wife doesn't work there anymore.
Meh.
I don't care.
Weren't they kind of jerks to her towards the end?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Screw them.
Forget that.
Yeah. No shout-outs for you.
It's a reverse shout-out. It's a shout-in.
It's a shame-out. I don't know.
Shame-out.
Yeah. But talking about tourists in the area, I went out to get some lunch this last Friday. So yesterday. Recording on Saturday. But I went out to lunch yesterday at work because, you know, gosh darn it, I felt like it. And so
this is America.
It's America. Exactly. And I wanted a massively oversized burrito. So I headed over to the pavilions, which is right next to Talking Stick, Salt River Fields, a Talking Stick, whatever. And, you know, it was chaotic because of the traffic. And that is normal during this time of the year. But what really stuck in my mind is as I was leaving to go back to work, there were these just like a pickup truck full of dude bros driving around recklessly in the parking lot. Like they were looking for parking, and they must have been just like three sheets into the wind drunk. Because the back of the pickup was just loaded with dude bros without shirts, and they were wearing, like, you know, random hats backwards. It's like, jeez, guys. Think about your choices right now.
Just don't need to give in to the stereotype quite that much.
Yeah. So that was amusing, but it will be. The sad thing is that they were probably locals. They were probably just a bunch of high school or college idiots that, or just post college. You know, we're certainly not lacking of that in certain parts of the city. So, or metropolitan area. We're going to be exacting. So the sad thing is I probably could see them, if I felt like going down to Old Town Scottsdale on a Saturday, I'd probably see them there too. Or at least that same type of person.
They all kind of blend together after a while.
Yeah, there's probably only really 10 dude bros in the world, but they just somehow can appear everywhere at the same time.
They actually, in the version of the Matrix we live in, the agents have been replaced with dude bros.
Yeah.
that's kind of the most terrifying thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, it is kind of like a virus. Tourists, they give us money, or give the economy money, that's great.
Oh no, they just give me money directly.
They give you money directly?
Guys?
What the hell?
Wow.
Jeez.
Awkward.
There's a lot of surprising things about surprise.
I think it may just be a pity thing. Like, oh, you poor soul, you live out here.
You know, we're just going to the library. They're like, oh, here's a few dollars, kid. Like,
actually, that's probably likely because the library is directly across the street.
That's what I remembered, yeah.
Yeah, the stadium. And they've got a guy who always sits out at the entrance to the parking lot of the library, and you have to drive up and, like, hold up your books or your library card or else he won't let you in.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Charlie wants to know, even though he couldn't be with us, he is still with us in spirit. He wanted to know, why is happiness so elusive? To which I would say, well, we're not living in a post-scarcity society yet, so that's probably why.
Also because we're in the Matrix, and they have learned that if we're happy, it just doesn't work.
Right. And
did you even watch the movies, Charlie? Come on.
Right. And then they filled it with dude bros. So who can be happy in that environment? Also, we're not fans. I don't know.
I was going to say probably in that environment, like somebody who owns stock in Corona.
Mm. Yeah. It'd be making a killing.
Yeah.
Why is happiness so elusive for Arizona fans? Well, it's probably random if you really look at it, because it seems like some teams or some cities go through a big swing where a lot of their teams are doing well all at the same time, and then they go through a downswing and can't really predict it. But there is certainly a trend of outside of the 2001 World Series, and then, you know, every once in a while, you know, these sort of minor or lesser events kind of popping up, like how U of A won a basketball championship in, I don't know, 1923 or something like that.
I think it was actually 1918.
Yeah. Same. That wasn't the same year as the Black Sox scandal. It was a year before. But it could have been the same people.
You never know. I think that's true. A lot of them graduated from U of A in 1918, joined the Black Sox the next year, and created a conspiracy to both defame Shoeless Joe Jackson and give John Cusack a movie role later on in the century.
Right. I think people have been getting it wrong for, you know, decades and decades. Bear Down didn't, you know, it doesn't mean, oh, let's do good. It was code for them to tank a game.
Editor's note, f*** you guys.
Also, it was their code name for whenever they would catch a Cubs fan out in the streets. and they would try to break one of their limbs.
Right.
Yeah.
Which, you know, during that time period is likely, because both of the Chicago teams were really good in the first couple decades of the 20th century.
And White Sox and Cubs fans, like, White Sox fans are kind of terrible in that, no, in, like, in the way they have a rivalry with Cubs fans.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I have a Cubs hat. I wore it one time when I was out a couple years ago. And this guy comes up to me and starts telling me about how he's a White Sox fan and how much he hates the Cubs, and he shows me his tattoo. it was a Calvin in a White Sox jersey, yeah, peeing on a Cubs logo. And I'm like,
he got that on his skin permanently.
I'm like, sir, I'm cold. I just needed to buy some shoes. It's one of those sports rivalries that it gets to the point where you're like, wait, are you into this rivalry because you want your team to succeed or because you want to watch the other team suffer?
Yeah. So I think in some ways it probably has cooled a little bit in recent years, only because the Tribune company doesn't own the Cubs anymore. Where, yeah, for, you know, 20 some odd years, or I think it was closer to 30. The Tribune Company, which owns the Chicago Tribune, owned the Cubs as well, and they also owned WGN. So, if you were a White Sox fan in the greater Chicago area, then you would have a legitimate gripe and feeling that the Cubs were going to get better coverage because, well, the biggest news organizations, WGN and Chicago Tribune, are owned by the same people, you know. So it's just,
yeah, they've got in it. They're invested in, I mean, in the success of the Cubs, literally.
Yeah, and you would think, oh well, there's a second newspaper in Chicago, maybe not quite as successful, but still surviving, the Chicago Sun-Times. You would think then that they would be pro White Sox, but no, they didn't like White Sox either. Oh, it's just, you know. It was already a sort of Napoleon complex that was compounded.
Yeah, yeah, they've really got a whole grudge there that probably it was legitimate at a time, but now I think they've really embraced it a little bit too much.
Yeah. Got a question from Esther Schindler, who asked, what food should they add at Chase Field? So we'll get to that in a second, but I think what kind of drives that question is that, as most of you probably know, the Diamondbacks announced that they were going to have some new food options this year at Chase Field, and they were going to be local options, you know, local restaurant options that are going to be replacing some of the more chain restaurants like Fatburger, and some other ones.
Representative of Mexican food will no longer be Macayo's.
Is Macayo's not there anymore?
I'm pretty sure that was one of the ones that was out.
Could be. I'm kind of scanning through the thing that Jim threw up. Yep, Macayo's no more. Macayo's is at least a local restaurant, though.
Yeah, no, that's true. They're not. Of local Mexican chains, they're not in any way my favorite. I'm not a fan of them.
They're okay, but yeah, they're not necessarily great or what you would hope to be representative. So what they're going to be replaced with, Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, which is a pretty popular and trendy restaurant chain, growing restaurant chain, and they serve chicken and waffles. Mm-hmm. America's Taco Shop, which sounds super generic, but is actually a local chain. It's started by a woman whose name is America. And Paradise Valley Burger Company, I've never been there, so I can't comment on them. Soyo Neighborhood Yogurt, can't really comment on them. And then some other beer options, but the big things is Lolo's Chicken and Waffle, America's Taco Shop, and Paradise Valley Burger Company. So, any of these sound intriguing to you, or do you kind of wish that they had just left things alone?
I'm kind of interested in all of them. I'm a fan of food. Lolo Chicken and Waffles, I've always meant to try them, and then I moved to a different state.
You really never went to Lolo's before you moved?
No, I didn't. I never got around to it.
Dude. So good.
I did find this amazing, I can't remember the name of it is, but it's this amazing soul food restaurant in Las Vegas that's really great, and I can at least pretend that that's a
comparable. It probably is.
Option.
Yeah, no, they're good.
I've never actually had any of the restaurants they're putting in there. I've heard about America's.
America's good. They're kind of like the Chipotle concept in some ways, but they have a little bit more options.
Mm-hmm.
They have tortas, which is nice. You don't see those at a lot of the more Americanized Mexican restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Which I would count these guys as kind of being in it, no offense to them. Because if you ask them, you know, let's say you get salsa and chips or something like that, and then the response is always, oh, okay, you want salsa, do you want mild or hot? So you ask for hot, but it is not hot in any capacity. It's tasty, but it's just all the flavors of it kind of more scream as kind of being whitewashed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure it's a concept that they'll be able to scale out and move it out of Arizona as well if it continues to grow, but it's not necessarily my top pick if I'm going to want to go get some Mexican food. Though it is close to my work, one of them, and they have tortas, so those are two advantages I would give them. But who knows? I don't even know what they're going to have at Chase Field because – at least previously, you know, it's not a full-scale Macayo's that was in Chase Field. It wasn't a full-scale Fatburger. They were very scaled-down concepts that were also considerably more expensive than the one you get out of the park, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what they're going to have because it could just simply be, you know, you could get a chicken drumstick and a waffle at Lolo's Chicken and Waffle, and you can get, you know, a burrito or a taco at America's Taco Shop and call it a day. And that to me, I think, would be a little bit more disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what Jim talked about, at least with the Lolo's Chicken and Waffles, he's talking about some of their sides that they have. I mean, which gives it some variety there.
Yeah, he did mention that. He said something about their red velvet cake, which is really good. So if it is at Chase Field, then that's definitely good. I know, Grace. If they don't have red velvet cake, Grace, I will be super sad as well. The other great thing, which I really doubt that they will have at Chase Field, is that one of the drink options you can get is Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the poor-ass Kool-Aid that most of us made as kids, where, you know, you've got your one packet and you put the recommended amount of water with it, and it basically tastes like water that has just a little bit of sugar, and it's colored red.
It's closer to, hey, why don't you make your own sugared-up Gatorade at home?
Yeah, exactly. It's like how we would have made Kool-Aid if we weren't drinking Kool-Aid because we couldn't afford other things that weren't Kool-Aid.
how we would have drunk Kool-Aid if our mom hadn't been in the kitchen when we made it.
Right. Exactly.
The other thing I'm interested in seeing the results of, I mean, not that I'm probably going to get to go to a game this year, but I'm curious about, because they did say they're going to do the food truck alley outside of Chase.
Yes.
I don't know. I think there are some really interesting sounding food trucks in the Phoenix area. I'll be interested to see who they get to show up.
Right.
If they're going to do that every game.
Yeah, I think that might be actually the most interesting concept more than anything else, because that they're willing to set up a bunch of food trucks outside of Chase Field.
Mm-hmm.
So they're essentially encouraging people like, hey, eat before you even get in here. Now, I'm sure they're getting some kind of cut.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But it's still an interesting way to do it, where normally the way it's set up is, and the business plan is, get people in the door and then get them to buy stuff while they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that where they're having, I guess, more of like boutique merchandise places. So instead of having just one gigantic place to get all of your stuff, and then have a bunch of mini versions of that all over the stadium. I guess they're breaking it out into like little concept shops where, you know, there's going to be a New Era shop. If you want to go get a hat, you go to that. But it's, all it's going to have is New Era hats.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still going to be trying to separate us from our money when we go to Chase Field. But it is interesting that they're kind of trying to encourage people to eat before they even get into the park.
Yeah.
Which
I also think that's an interesting. It would be an interesting way to get kind of more involved in the community in a way.
Yeah.
Which I think that's always a good idea.
Yeah, and I think another good thing is that it kind of addresses an issue I was thinking about. I was thinking about recently just because I was looking at a map because I'm a nerd. And I was looking at the map around Chase Field. And I was, you know, I was thinking to myself, you know, most of the time when they build stadiums anymore since, you know, probably 90 or so, especially if they're building them near a downtown area, the whole idea was that they're attempting to revitalize downtown cores. Because in the 70s and 80s, I mean, it started before that, but it got really bad in the 70s and 80s. Most cities in the U.S., their urban cores kind of decayed and became crime-ridden, and nobody wanted to be there. I mean, it was, you know, you went there because you maybe had a job in downtown, but you got the hell out of there before the sun went down.
Yeah.
Or there just simply wasn't anything to do, even if it was safe. So stadiums were meant to kind of reverse that trend, and then the hope was, okay, we put a nice shiny stadium in, and then people will want to build restaurants and shops, and it'll start gentrifying, and et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think that really happened for Chase Field, but you look at the geography of it, and I don't even think it could happen just based on where it's located. Directly to the north, when they built Chase Field, directly to the north where there's a parking garage, that was also an empty parcel. They could have built something else there, but they chose to build a parking garage there. Directly to the west is a parking garage and then U.S. Airways, or whatever they're calling that basketball arena now.
Your airline name here.
And it's not. I feel like it's also related to Talking Stick now, but I could be wrong. I know they announced it this year, but I have already forgotten. But obviously you can't build anything there because there's already a basketball stadium. It was built before Chase Field. To the south, again, there's railroad tracks and more parking garages. And then directly to the east is the elevated 7th Street. So you can't really build anything there. It's just it's heavily restricted where you can't put in a lot of things very close. So there are a few restaurants that have been installed, including what used to be Sliders, and it's a barbecue place now, 9th Inning, or I don't know, who cares. But there's something just directly outside of Chase, and there's
yeah, and there's like Cooperstown.
Yeah, Cooperstown, and there's something on Jackson and 3rd. Maybe that's even what it's called. I don't remember. There are a few things, but it's not like a bonanza. So this almost is an attempt, from a certain point of view, to reverse that trend where you're, you know, realizing, okay, yeah, we can't physically build anything or install anything anywhere near this, but we could take food trucks and put them in the parking lot and have people go to town.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I feel like that's something that the team has recognized for a while, and Phoenix itself has recognized as sort of a problem. I mean, if they tried with the big Copper Square rebrand, but that never really stuck. And I mean, it's just, I think part of it is probably that Phoenix just isn't, the weather makes Phoenix not a town that you walk places in.
Mm-hmm.
So there are, you're almost better if you want to do it, like building something a couple of stops down the line on the light rail and taking your chances.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I think involving community food trucks in is definitely going to, you know, that definitely opens up people's options close to the stadium, and I think that's can only be good. I think giving people more choices on what they're going to
right
to eat and keeping them making them stick around the stadium, get their earlier stay, whatever.
Yep. Yeah. in sort of terrible business schooly jargony crap, you know, that's trying to increase engagement.
Oh, I just got nauseous over that.
We could talk about synergy too if you want.
Oh.
But to go back,
I'm also going to project out a business plan.
Yeah, we were already talking about business plans earlier, so I'm sorry. I will stop with the business jargon crap. But to circle back to Esther's question, so they've tried to install some new restaurants, some new concepts, but there might still be something that Chase Field doesn't have, or maybe just baseball stadiums in general don't have, because baseball kind of generally goes for the bar food type of thing first, you know, hot dogs, hamburgers, that sort of stuff. And then even the new items that get a lot of press, they're almost always the sort of clickbaity recipes where it's like, well, we're going to take a sausage and then we're going to stick ice cream on it and we're going to deep fry it and then we're going to
put it in a pizza and then you put it in a bag and cover it with delicious chili.
Yeah, it's like that that SNL skit where they're they're just going completely banana crazy with it. It just, you know, it generally goes that way, or then sometimes they'll go a completely different direction, like in Seattle where they have sushi. But is there anything that you wish Chase Field had?
The first thing that comes to mind, I mean, going with something that's kind of local is, and you know what, I don't know if the, yeah, I don't think that any of the places they have that I've seen there have it. Like something fry bread related.
Yes.
Because when fry bread is done right, it is so good.
And it's something that is fairly flexible. Well, not fairly. It is very flexible in that you can make it a sweet dish. So yeah. You could have, you know, sugar or honey or chocolate or whatever it is you want, but you can also make it a savory dish. You can essentially turn it into
a taco or
a sandwich or whatever, put any sort of savory filling in it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like in a way that's almost kind of like a no-brainer, and I'm just surprised they haven't done that. I mean, yeah. I don't know if the actual frying would be. It doesn't even, like, it's not that hard.
No.
I don't know if there's safety standards that would discourage them, but
I can't imagine that there are, because it's something that you see at, like, the state fair and other sorts of food fairs and things. And it's just frying dough. They already fry stuff there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right. I mean, if they can fry an 18-foot corn dog wrapped in bacon,
yeah,
they can fry bread.
Right. And it does feel like the Diamondbacks in recent years have tried to increase their synergy with local tribal organizations.
Yeah.
So that's also potentially an opportunity. And it doesn't have to necessarily be solely fry bread, but fry bread or other types of cuisine that might be local.
I think that's what I like about the restaurants they're bringing in is that they are local. And I mean, like you said, I mean, like places like the Mariners have sushi. Like a lot of stadiums have kind of local flavor to what they sell, and I feel like that's something that the Diamondbacks have been missing a little bit. So
yeah, with the exception of Macayo's and one tamale stand.
Yeah,
and I imagine most people. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I would hope most people aren't jumping up and saying, "Yes, I want Macayo's to represent my taste in Mexican food."
I would hope not. And honestly, if anyone is listening to this and they do, I'm sorry. Not for what we've said, but for you.
Branch out, man.
Yeah, come on. I mean, you live in Phoenix. There are so many places you can try.
Yeah. It's just, at that point, you're just being lazy. Let's be real.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of more local-esque tastes, or even borrowing from our sort of general region, Southwest region. You know, they could have tortas, like I've mentioned. They could expand and have more tamale. stands. They could have more street taco type of stands. They could even have more Mexican street food, like, you know, having corn on the cob, like grilled corn on the cob.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even if you look at the stuff they've got in at Talking Stick, one of my favorite things that they have there is it's a hot dog that's got, like, green chili and onions on it. And, I mean, it's not like that's like, oh, wow, they've really gone out of their way to make it Southwest-related, but it's just green chilies, but it's really good, and it's a little different than just your standard hot dog, so I think it pays off, obviously.
That's a very New Mexico thing to say.
I know it is.
But green chilies are good.
It's so fantastic. It's like, the best thing that I get there every time I go see a game.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that one.
They've got a stadium, they've got a stand over, like, behind home plate, maybe a little bit on the third base side, and they've got, like, a hot dog that's supposed to represent Arizona, and a hot dog that's supposed to represent Colorado. Yeah.
So, which one's the Arizona one, and which one's the Colorado one, if you can recall?
I don't remember. I don't.
Because I feel like the green chili one would likely be more of a Colorado thing, because I'm under the impression that southern Colorado is similar to New Mexico in their obsession with green chilies.
I think it is, because it's got green chili, and the hot dog is buffalo. Bison or something.
Yeah, it would have to be bison, because there's no buffaloes here.
Yeah.
Are there bison in Colorado?
I don't know.
Google, tell me. Colorado.
I mean, there are buffalo in Colorado.
Bison?
Well, I mean, they call it buffalo. They call it buffalo meat.
Well, they should get it right or pay the price.
Well, you know what? Maybe you need to start traveling around and...
just annoyingly inserting myself in every conversation where someone misuses buffalo.
Just get a marker and be like go to the grocery store where they say they've got buffalo and just be like, no, bison.
This is bison.
Yeah.
Bison. Yeah. My wife is giving me a look. She says...
Also you, Devin.
She says, like, neither one of us don't insert ourselves into random conversations just to correct someone.
You know what? I believe it's kind of ironic that she is inserting herself into this conversation to correct us.
It is. It's a little too ironic. But yeah, I think those would be some local type of flavors that would be welcome. I think they still have strawberries there.
They haven't the last 300 grams, have they?
Oh, maybe they don't have strawberries. I know that at Talking Stick they still have people going around with, like, chocolate-covered strawberries, and those are pretty good.
Just, like,
it's fantastic, yeah.
Cut out fresh cream.
Oh.
It was amazing. Can you say what?
Yeah, she's describing, I guess, a bowl of strawberries with whipped cream or something like that. It sounds good, but whatever.
It sounds amazing. I think you want to put that on funnel cake.
Yes.
And I am all aboard.
Yes, but then deep fry it, roll it up in a blueberry pancake, and put some chili on it.
I don't see how you can lose.
How could you go wrong?
Just deep fry everything and put green chili on it.
I'm going
which
to...
Which is how I failed several essays.
Yeah.
Because I guess that only works for food. My mistake.
Yeah. Whoops! I'm going to selectively pick out a question that someone asked you on Facebook when you asked for questions.
because I do several.
A Lindsay asked, has anyone ever deliberately hit another player with a bat? I'm sure there's been multiple incidents, but there was one in the 60s. I'm trying to remember exactly who was involved with it. I mean, I know it was the Dodgers and the Giants, but Giants bat hit 1960s. Oh, yeah. It was Juan Marichal and John Roseboro. Where Marichal basically, like, went to town. Or maybe he didn't actually hit him. But it was definitely one of those... kind of at the time was considered a scary moment because, you know, it's like people wielding bats at each other. Kind of like that a couple years ago, the fight between the Reds and the Cardinals, where Johnny Cueto was kicking at people and kicked somebody in the face. In the face!
In the face! I know that the question was saying if there somebody had been deliberately hit with a bat, but I don't want to pass up the opportunity to vilify Ryan Braun and bring up how last year he hit a player in the face with a bat.
He's also apparently hit FedEx employees in the face with bats. Not allegedly anymore. In your face, Ryan. In your face. One of your sisters wants to know, which Final Fantasy player would you draft if you had to choose one? I'm assuming for baseball purposes.
I'm assuming this is for baseball purposes. The player I want to go with here is Sid.
Editor's note, a character named Sid in a Final Fantasy game. That is super specific.
I'm specifically thinking of him from Final Fantasy VII because that's the first Final Fantasy game I played.
Now I gotta look up who Sid was, because I played the first disc of the game and then got frustrated with it when my file died.
I don't remember if he shows up until the second disc or not. He's the guy who pilots the skyship. He's pretty nimble. He fights with a spear. So I mean, I figure that's like a long spear. So I figure he probably swings that around pretty well. It would work possibly as a to transfer those skills over to a baseball bat. He's got good speed. He's got he's kind of a rougher character, but I think he would bring a lot to the team just in G.
Yeah. I have to admit here that I don't have a ton of experience with Final Fantasy games because, like, I really liked playing the first one, largely because it was the only one I had for a long time in my childhood, and the characters are very, very generic because it was a game built in, you know, like 1985 or something like that. So it was very much in the style where it's like generic fighter, generic thief.
You can only fit so much personality into like a small pixel.
Yeah, and you know, I played 7 through the first disc. Like I said, I played 8 through the first couple of discs, and then got to a boss I couldn't beat, and I was like, I don't care enough to continue playing this. And I played Final Fantasy Tactics. So probably who I would pick might be just simply, I don't know, I guess it doesn't really matter. Probably a Black Mage from the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I feel like his offensive capabilities would be sufficient to at least, you know, kill the other team and win by default. I don't think that there's a rule in MLB that if you kill the entire opposition with dark magic, that you have to forfeit.
I will admit, I don't think that... somebody can correct me if they want. I am pretty sure that Major League Baseball does not have rules that specifically, explicitly prohibit magic.
Yeah. I think, if anything, just simply by abstaining, addressing this issue, MLB is pro-dark magic.
Yeah, I think that they are quietly condoning it.
Yeah. And it's possible that dark magic actually explains a lot of the inexplicable events that happen in MLB. This is the story they don't want you to know about.
Dark magic in Major League Baseball. The untold story. I think actually that's why they're bringing the X-Files back, is to finally tell that story.
That's dangerous. They're going to disappear. They're going to get disappeared.
The truth is out there, damn it.
Yeah. You're going to get verb disappeared.
can we please shut up about Joe Mauer already, which... Yeah, no, I think we can. That one may be regional since the guy who asked it lives in Minnesota. Oh. So.
Like, I didn't realize people were talking about Joe Mauer anymore.
Well, you know what? We're not, and we're going to keep that way.
Yeah. We will maintain our Joe Mauer silence.
Yeah.
Even though he's not from Ohio, he actually is from Minnesota. So.
Is he? Well, that's good to know.
Well, I think he is, because I thought that was part of his whole shtick, was that, he's a local boy playing for the Twins. Yeah. He's raised on Minnesota milk.
None of that.
He did have a whole series. Yeah, not that Wisconsin crap, but good old Minnesota stuff. I don't know why they talk like they're from the South. You know, we got the, it's a good old Minnesota milk. That's my impression. He did have a series of milk commercials that I've seen because they're really bad and dumb, as you would expect for a baseball player attempting to act. But they're also kind of amusing because they're that sort of, like, broad Midwestern whatever passes for humor sort of thing. It was like the Facebook of dairy ads.
Now that we have had a chance to see Tuffy, how does it compare to Miggy? Let's see.
Well.
Not, well, it depends. Miguel Montero at his best or not. I will say comparatively they are both 5'11".
Yep.
Both born in 1983.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Now I'm starting to wonder if Miguel Montero is Venezuelan for Tuffy Gokovich.
Yeah. Maybe it's possible they are the same guy, and that Miguel Montero would just, like, slap on a fake goatee and a fake mullet,
mm-hmm.
and then he would play.
Yeah.
That way he could get extra time. The real Tuffy Gokovich is probably, like, hiding in his, like, locked up in Miggy's basement.
Maybe there never was a real Tuffy Gokovich. I mean, for all we know, his background could all be on paper.
Well, he, or at least somebody claiming to be him, did play for ASU's baseball team at one point. But that could have been Miggy just trying to get extra time in.
Yeah, I mean, he could be playing Venezuelan Winter League and then come up to ASU, play there during the spring, and then go to the Diamondbacks during the season.
Yep.
Just an effort to play baseball 24/7, 365.
Yep, he just loves baseball.
Yeah. I do think that the illusion will be harder to maintain now that he's playing for two teams in different time zones.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for us, I think we got the crap end of the stick because it's possible that he just essentially summoned, like, an Earth monster to replace him as Tuffy.
I think, unfortunately, what happened is Miguel Montero cast one of those spells that allows you to create, like, a duplicate of yourself that functions at, like, 60%
right.
The same level.
Yep. But then he was standing in front of a couple mirrors, so it bounced off of him a couple times. And then the first couple batches of clones then tragically fell into lava. So now we're stuck with, like, Tuffy the Six.
I don't even know why they had that lava there.
What?
He just got more than a cat.
As if he needed to sound more like a cat. Tuffy the Six.
Tuffy the Six.
Champion Persian.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, if Major League Baseball has no official policy on magic, I guess that what Montero's done is legal.
It sounds completely legal.
Yeah, there's nothing we can do to stop it, I guess.
No, not unless we want to engage with him, in a one-on-one magic sort of fight. But it sounds like he has some pretty advanced spells in his arsenal. So
yeah, and I mean it's really hard to tell. Also, I mean, what sort of magical items he may have, what sort of equipment he's got.
True.
Yeah. This Miguel Montero probably. I forget probably, I want to say almost certainly, is too high of a challenge rating for the likes of us to take
on. That's definitely true. I did not get into Hogwarts, so I'm sadly lacking in the magical ability department.
Unfortunately, I seem to have put all of my stats into, like, social rogue sort of thing, so, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, bards can cast sort of spells, right?
Well, yeah, they can, but it's much more of a support casting.
You're right, exactly. You're not going toe-to-toe.
You never want to have a bard as your primary caster.
No, that's a bad idea.
Do that. And I say this as somebody who is playing a bard as the primary spellcaster of the Pathfinder group right now.
That's going to go very well for you.
Most of what I do is about 50-50, about 50% spellcasting, 50% fast-talking my way out of why I can't use real magic.
I think the prime question here, though, in challenging Miguel Montero is his magical ability something that he learned over time, you know, like just from the time he was a little kid? Or does he have some sort of powerful magical object or set of magical objects that allow him to do what he needs to do? Because if it's the latter, then we just need to separate him from those.
Yeah.
Which, is probably easier than if he just innately is educated.
I will say this. Having watched Miguel Montero's commercials where he's selling, you know, tacos.
Yeah.
I do not think he is a charisma-based spellcaster.
I think that would be accurate.
Yeah. So it probably means that he's, if he does have the innate spellcasting, he's got a much more flexible wizard-like array of spells.
Yeah. Well, I mean, charisma was probably his dump stat.
Traditionally, a lot of people go with that.
Yeah.
I mean, not to say he's an unlikable person.
No. But it's clear he wasn't trying to buff that one.
No.
Hey, we got another question coming in. All right, your other sister, Moira. So the first one, kind of fancy question, was from Colleen. Moira wants to know, hey, how about that Joe Mauer?
Well, okay, but I did search Joe Mauer, and the first result that I got as an article was something about referring to him as the twin scapegoat.
Oh.
So.
Paul Molitor's advice for twin scapegoat Joe Mauer. I don't understand. I understand those words separately, but together, it's not adding up to anything.
Yeah. Wow, the Minnesota Twins are predicted to be the worst team in the American League by Fox Sports.
Yeah, it could be true, I suppose. I don't know. Somebody's got to be the worst.
Yeah.
Why not the Diamondbacks is what I have to ask.
Because we are not in the American League.
Well, not with that kind of attitude.
Maybe we could be so bad that we could be the worst team in both the American and the National League.
Yeah, that could be true.
But to be fair, I'm not even convinced we're the worst team in the NL West. They're still the Rockies.
Yeah, but we said that last year, and look how that happened.
You know what? One of these times we're going to be right.
Moira also wants to know, can we now agree that the Mariners are probably the AL team you should root for? I guess I can't disagree with that, but
first of all, the Mariners are already the AL team I root for. Because, I mean...
Why not?
Because why not? I mean, my sister's a fan. I've got a Mariners hat. Felix Hernandez is just one of those pitchers who's always entertaining to watch.
Plus, aren't they partially owned by Nintendo?
They are.
Which so, is amusing to me.
Yeah. So you get to, in some way, pretend that at opening day, the president of Nintendo pulls out a Pokeball and yells, "Seattle Mariners, I choose you."
But in reality, it means that they're probably, like, super cheap asses about technology. And they just keep running the same thing over and over, out again. Ken Griffey Kart Racing! 7.
Ken Griffey World 9.
Ken Griffey Party 10.
Ken Griffey Paint. No, but yeah, I like the Mariners. They're a likable team, I think. So yeah, I'm going to cheer for them.
I'm going to cheer for them in the sense that I'm probably not going to think about them. So I hope that is sufficient.
I am looking around, you know, because I, as we do this, I search things on Google so that I can pretend that I'm educated about the topics we discuss.
Yeah.
And I did find a post on The Stranger titled "Preseason Mariners Expectations Crest with Sports Illustrated Cover Will Certainly Not Blow Up in Our Faces."
They're also predicting the Indians are going to do really well.
Oh, okay.
I guess you can take that with a grain of salt. Or maybe not.
What you can do is tell the Indians to shove it because they're in Ohio.
They are still in Ohio. That is a true fact. So,
well, actually, okay. Technically, the Indians are not in Ohio right now.
They're in Thanks, Houston. Andrew Jackson.
That was not where I was going, but hey, I can't argue with it.
I thought you were.
So they're in Goodyear, but they're going to Ohio.
So that's it for tonight's episode of Infield Chatter. Thank you for listening, and you can log on to azsnakepit.com and leave any questions for us in the comments, or you can follow on Twitter and Facebook, and you know, just generally stalk Jim in his normal day-to-day activities. And his phone number is... Hey, where why no. Did you take me away from the microphone? No.
I'll be back next week, folks. I'm sure you're all thrilled about that.